if they just put a damper on your smile real quick. Because the world that is dark doesn't like to hear about the light. Doesn't like to hear about the light. They love darkness. There's two crowds. There's two responses. And one day, these two crowds will be divided forever and ever apart. That's why we preach about Jesus Christ. Because we don't want anybody to die and go to a devil's hell. We won't tell people. And we continue to tell people, especially during this time of year, the holidays, about the importance of being thankful for Jesus during Thanksgiving and for the real reason why Jesus came during the Christmas season. It wasn't come just to give gifts. It wasn't come so we can sing about Santa Claus and Frosty the Snowman and that reindeer with the red nose. It's come to celebrate the birth of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We need to tell folks about Jesus because there's two crowds, those who are going to heaven and those who are not. I pray this morning you're in the crowd that's going to heaven. You say, preacher, I'm not. You've come to the right place. Because at the end of this sermon, we're going to give an invitation. At this invitation, you have the opportunity to walk forward, see Brother Clayton or my wife or talk to me after church and say, tell me, what is it like? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be saved? The most important thing in your life right now is not where you work. It's not even who you're married to or how many kids you have. All those are very important. But the most important thing in life is, do you know Jesus? Because the reality of life is we're all going to die. All of us are going to die someday, folks. It's just the reality of life. You're born and then you die. But you don't have to die with no hope. We did the service for Betty Hodgkins just a few weeks ago, right down the road at Forest Meadows. And I said, folks, we don't have to sorrow like those who have no hope. Betty had new Jesus. And her husband, Vern, who some of you are here today because of Betty and Vern. You're sitting where you're sitting because of Betty and Vern. Vern knew Jesus. And they're in heaven today. And they're a whole lot happier than we are right now. Whole lot happier. What crowd are you part of today? But we not only see the two crowds, we see the caring father. Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Who is this person? In the midst of this mob scene, one man breaks through the crowd to speak to Jesus. This is Jairus. His name means Jesus enlightens. He's a ruler of a synagogue. Now, in those days, they didn't have what we call churches, but they had places of worship called synagogues that was carried on through the exile of the Jews. And to have a synagogue, someone had to be in charge of that, but there had to be at least 10 males in their family to have a synagogue, to a place of worship. This person was in charge of it. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a preacher. He was basically a layman, a businessman, an important person who was a man of responsibility, a man who was used to not taking orders. He was used to giving orders. A little bit about who he is, but what did he do? He made his way through the crowd and he saw Jesus. And interesting enough, this is a man who is important, this man who is used to giving orders, this man who is used to telling folks what to do and how to do it, when to do it. He fell at the feet of Jesus. You see, folks, if you want to know Jesus, it all starts with falling at the feet of Jesus. The only way anybody can ever get saved is they realize they're a sinner and they can't get saved themselves. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The first step to salvation is to realize that you're not saved. You can't do it. I was raised in a Baptist church thinking, well, man, if you're just a Baptist, you're going to get there somehow, some way. I was wrong. There's people in churches right now all down this road who somehow think that just by being in church, they're going to go to heaven someday. And someday they will stand before God, Jesus Christ specifically. And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. A lot of folks think they know Jesus, but a lot of folks don't really know Jesus. It's not about what you think you know. It's about what Jesus knows about you. Does he know you? Does Jesus know you? This man who used to being given orders now falls at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because he had a need. He had a need greater than any need he had. He had a need, and his greatest need was his daughter. His daughter, 12-year-old girl, was dying. Now, you know, many of you are parents and grandparents. If something happens to you, you're kind of used to it. You kind of just, you know, if you're sick, you just keep on being sick. Or if you're hurt and you just put a Band-Aid on it or spit on it and keep on going, wipe it off. You just keep on going down the way. But if it's your loved one, especially you mama bears, if that little child, something wrong with her, one little sniffle, oh, got to take it to the doctor. Oh, one little something. Oh, we got to help him, got to heal him, got to take care of him. Don't want nothing to sick. This was his only daughter, and he cared about her, and she was dying. So this important man who was used to giving rules and giving orders and telling people what to do, he falls down at the feet of Jesus. This man who had all these things, wealth, dignity, reputation, when it came to life and death, he didn't care about any of those things. All he cared about was one thing. His daughter needed to live. And you know what he did? He didn't go to a doctor and maybe tried that. He didn't go to that person or that person. What did he do? He went to the person he knew could help him the most. Dear friend, I can tell you today, the only person who really can help you in this life is Jesus. The only person. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Buddha can't help you today. Muhammad can't help you today. The Quran can't help you today. The Catholic Church can't help you today. Only Jesus can help you today. He's the only one that can save your soul from hell. Do you know him today? Jairus trusted in Jesus because he knew Jesus was the only one who could help him. He says here in this verse, He calls him by name and said, when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He said, I pray, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. He knew. Just one touch. He heard the stories and he believed. The difference between the world that does not know Jesus and the world that does know Jesus is really one word. It's belief. Belief. Do you believe? The world is so caught up in unbelief and skepticism and conspiracy theory. And somebody's always out to get me. And God must hate me or not like me because this happened or that happened. Oh, dear friends, you can live in that world and you will be miserable. You will be miserable. Or you can trust in the sovereign hand of God who loves you and cares for you, who died for your sins. This one is 12 years old. We see who Jesus was, what he did. So we see the crushing crowd, the caring father, now the compassionate savior. What did Jesus do? He went with him. In verse 24, he heard what Jairus had said, and it says in verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Isn't it good to know that when we have trouble, Jesus is with us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he's there in the times where we're good, that he's there when the times are bad. I love that old song. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Yes, dear friend, whatever trouble you're in, Jesus is there. He always cares. He's always there. Jesus was with Jairus and Jesus was with you. We see his actions, but we see his environment. It says much people followed him and they thronged him in the midst of this people, in the midst of all this crowd. He was being delayed. And I'm sure I could imagine Jairus' father was becoming impatient. Remember, all these people were trying to say, Jesus, do this for me. And Jesus, do this for me. And Jesus, do this for me. Touch me. Help me. Heal me. And Jairus said, please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. Try not to be impatient. Try not to worry. Try not to be too anxious and scared. You ever been there in your life? The healing that you hope to have doesn't come fast enough. The person you've been praying for doesn't seem to be, God seem to be hearing. It seems like the more you pray, the answer becomes no. Can you trust God's going to do something not in your time, but in God's time? See, God is in the delay. He doesn't do things when we want him to. God is not, we don't make God to be someone who we just rub the lamp and he's like a cosmic genie and he does whatever we want him to do. We don't command God. We don't make him do anything. He has a sovereign will. And his plan, though we may not be able to understand it, as we've talked about, it's always perfect. There's a delay. I'm sure Jairus is wanting him to come, but they were thronging him. But Jesus was going with him. He was following him. Jesus is always working to help out those who are hurting in his time, in his plan. I remember as a young man, I was going to Bible college, Bob Jones University. I kept thinking to myself, I got to have a wife. I got to have a wife. I got to have a wife. And I tried twice, and both times I struck out. One day I was sitting at Rhoda Haver Auditorium, and I was checking off some names of the people who were right beside me. And I looked over, and there was a young lady over there named Angela Goosey. I said, that's a different name. But I started to notice her. Then I started to notice her a little more. And then one day I called her. And then one day we ate at the snack shop at Bob Jones University. And 6 months from that day, we were married. But you know, she had been in a couple of relationships too. And so she wasn't sure about Marty Moon. So I had to work on it a little bit. But one day we went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And I gave her a little fudge, and she loves chocolate. That lady loves chocolate. And I grabbed that hand, and she grabbed my hand, and she said, I'm with you, Moon. And she'd been with me 25 years almost now. She'd been faithful. She'd been encouragement. She's been trustworthy and loyal. And dear friends, you know what? We need to be that way in this life to other people. The only Jesus people ever see is you. Is you and me. May we be faithful and loyal and loving and trusting and be by people and encourage people, because the only Jesus people ever see is sometimes a person looking back at us. We see his environment. We see his actions. So the crushing crowd, the caring father, compassionate savior in verse 24, and we get down to this certain woman. We see her needs in verse 25. Verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. We know she was sick. She was suffering many things of the physicians, had spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew the worse. We see her need. This woman who'd been sick for with an issue of blood. She'd been bleeding. She'd been weak. She'd been needful. She tried to go to the doctors, got no help. Obamacare couldn't help her. Medicare couldn't help her. Oh, I want to say so much more, but I will not. She could find no help. And dear friend, again, you could maybe find no help. Thank God for the doctors we have in this world, but dear friends, there's only so much they can do. But we have a physician, a healing physician that is able to do much more than we can even imagine. According to the law, Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25, a woman in her condition who bled on a continual basis was ceremonially unclean. What did that mean? She could not do what we did this morning. She couldn't go around and shake hands. She could not come and sit down at the church. She could not hug necks. She could not have people in family. She could not have people around her. She was a social outcast. Some of you have been outed. You've been disliked. You've been disowned. You took a stand with Jesus. And when you took a stand with Jesus, people say, well, I don't like that. I don't like your stand on this, or I don't like your stand on that. You stood with truth. And because of that, people didn't like that. This woman had a sickness. Because she had a sickness, people didn't want to be around her. They couldn't be around her. But she, in the midst of that crowd, when it would have been discouraging, would have been frustrated on that day when everybody was trying to get something for Jesus, she went through the crowd. She had great faith. She had great trust. She had great desire and hunger to be well, to the place where she just touched the hem of his garment, believing, if I just touch him, just the hem of his garment, just a little bit, not to shake his hand or give him a hug or have him say anything, but if I just touch him, just one touch, I shall be healed. She believed. And because she was believed, she got healed. What did she do? She went and she touched his garment so that she could be well. It wasn't a slow healing. It wasn't a process. I love what the Bible says here. It says immediately. You see, folks, when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, Jesus doesn't slowly come in your life and change your life. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The moment you ask Christ to save you from your sins, you become that new creature, that new person in Christ. How did Jesus respond? Seest the multitude, they were thronging him. And he said, thou touched me. He didn't know who touched him. He didn't know what was going on. He just felt a touch. He knew that something was different, that something had gone out of me. And he knew this woman, looking down at her in verse 33, the woman fearing and trembling, knowing that it was done into her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, verse 34, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I love this word, daughter. It's the only time in the New Testament this word daughter is actually mentioned. It's a word of endearment. It's a word of compassion. It's a word of care. Oh, how sometimes in the midst of crowd, we think to ourselves, does Jesus really care about me? Does Jesus really see me? Did Jesus really understand me? He sees this woman who we don't even know her name. We don't know if it's Mary or Martha or Sarah or Sally. We don't even know her name. It just says a certain woman. Dear friend, you may think that Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't know you, but he does. In the midst of the crowd, amidst 7 billion some people in this world, he sees you and he cares for you and he wants to help you. He wants to help you. The crushing crowd, the caring father, the compassionate savior, the certain woman he heals. And finally, as we close this morning, the chaotic company, verse 35. The chaotic company, while ye spake, there came from the ruler of synagogues, how certain, which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master? He heard terrifying news. In the midst of all this throng, he was trying to get to Jairus' house, but this woman had touched him. The crowd was so chaotic. In the midst of all that, he's heading that way, but he hears terrifying news. Jairus says, he gets the news, Jairus is dead. Now, can you imagine this? Imagine being Jairus at this time. All he cares about is his 12-year-old daughter being healed. Imagine the rage, the denial, the hurt, the anger. When you hear terrifying news all of a sudden, you go through a mixture of emotions. You go through denial. You go through anxiety. You're afraid. Sometimes you just don't know what to feel. You're just shocked out of your mind. So here's this news, and he doesn't know what to think. The one of the precious people in his life, his daughter's dead, and he's in deep grief. But isn't it wonderful, as soon as he hears those words, the words of Jesus, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken to him, he saith in the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Wow. The tense in which this word, this phrase, be not afraid, means just keep on believing. This whole world right here, right now, everybody's so afraid, so scared, so worried. What's going to happen? Well, the holidays, man, we're not going to have Christmas. Just shut down Christmas. We can't get stuff. The whole world's shut down. It's just, dear folks, don't listen to media. What's the Bible say? Just keep believing. Just keep trusting. Just keep hoping. Believe what the Word of God says. Turn that TV off. Turn the phone off. Turn the cell phone off. Turn the iPad off. And just keep believing in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Trust Him. Has the sovereign God failed you in many years you've been living? Have you failed you one time? Has He forsaken you? Has He hurt you? He hasn't. And dear friend, He will be with you to the end. Trust Him. Trust Him. I was sitting around some folks the other day, did a wedding yesterday at the Bauman Center. And after the rehearsal on Friday night, I was sitting around some folks. And there were some Russian people. And these Russians, one on one side, one, they just asked me questions about for like 45 minutes, they asked me questions about the Bible and what's happening and the pandemic and Corona and this and that. And I just kept saying, Jesus, trust Jesus, trust Jesus, trust Jesus, trust Jesus. I don't have the answers for everything, but I know He who does have the answers. Put your trust in the Word of God, the Bible. Yeah, he heard terrifying news, but we're thankful for the tenderness of Jesus. We can trust in Him. Don't lose hope. Keep believing. Don't we see the terrifying news, the noise of the crowd? Look at verse 38. And they come into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and see at the tumult, and they wept and wailed greatly. The young girl was dead. Now, interesting enough, as I studied this, whenever someone died during that time, they actually hired professional mourners to come and to weep and to wail. Not something that we've seen, but they actually hired people. And they came in and they wept and they cried. They would say over and over, Allah, 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 Allah. And at the top of their lungs, they would shout and they would rip their clothes because of what had happened. Now, can imagine coming into that situation, Jesus seeing all the tumult in the crowd and hearing the negativity. Look at verse 39. When they come in, he said to them, why you make such ado? Why is all this chaos? Why is all this craziness? Why is this tumult? Why are you weeping? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. How do they respond? These people who are weeping and wailing and afraid and scared and hurt and in pain. They laughed him to scorn. Again, it's that different crowd. That crowd that doesn't believe. That crowd that thinks, well, once you die, you're dead. You just die like a dog. And I don't understand how a dog dies like that and he just stays dead. But folks, Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. Jesus said, this man, he's sleeping. This young lady, she's sleeping. She's not dead. The negativity, but the need was met in verse 41. He took the damsel by the hand and led her and said, Talith Makubi, which is a term of damsel. I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose and walked, for she was of 12 years. They were astonished with great astonishment. This word, Talith Makumi, is Aramaic. It's a word of deep emotion. It's translated, little lamb, get up. Little lamb, little 12-year-old lamb. You're sick. You're sleeping, but get up. Again, no doctor could help her. No potion, no pill, but Jesus did. Jesus did. Jesus. Jairus chose to trust in Jesus because Jairus chose to trust in Jesus. Jesus came and healed his only daughter. What do we learn from this passage of Scripture? Well, a couple of things. First, delays deepen our understanding of Christ's sovereignty. God is in the delay. God's in the delay. Maybe things are not happening the way you want things to happen, or when you want things to happen, or how things want you to happen. Remember, God is in charge. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. He is sovereign. He's in the delay. There's a reason and a purpose why he's doing everything. Just because we can't figure it out doesn't mean he's not in control. He's in control. And secondly, the delays develop our trust in God's sovereignty. You see, he could have went right to Jairus' house and healed her. But if he'd done that, that woman who has been hurting and in pain for 12 years would not have been healed. Again, there's a reason and purpose why Jesus is doing anything. Delays deepen our trust. Delays deepen our understanding of God's sovereignty. Delays deepen our trust in God's sovereignty. And we all need a little more trusting Jesus in these days, don't we? That he is sovereign and that he is good. He cares for us, dear friend. I love that old song that we sing about, does Jesus care? And the chorus goes, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart, it's touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. He cares. Do you wonder about Jesus today? Are you scared? Are you frightened? Have you got yourself caught up in the media, the mob that likes to scare us with news on a daily basis? Turn off the TV, folks, and focus on Jesus. He's never failed you, and he will never fail you in the future. And more than that, he cares for you individually. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you that you are sovereign and that you care. Lord, we see this specifically in the life of Jairus and his daughter. We see this specifically in the life of this certain woman. the Sun woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, but yes, just touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. Oh God, I pray you'd help us to have that type of faith that maybe through difficulty, through hardship, maybe through hurt and pain, we could just simply trust you. We just hold on to you, believing, keep on believing, keep on trusting. Maybe someone in this room, there's never been a time in your life where you actually placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been religious. Maybe you've gone to Baptist church or gone to this type of church or that type of church, but there's never been a time in your life where you placed your faith in Jesus alone. Oh, dear friend, isn't it time to be saved? Isn't it time to know that you know that you know Christ is your Savior? If I was to ask you individually in private this morning, are you 100% sure if you died today, could you say, based on what the Word of God teaches, I know that I'm going to heaven. I'm 100% sure. Dear friend, if that's not you this morning, say, preacher, I need Jesus. I'm religious. I've gone to church, but really I don't know Christ. Would you pray for me? I won't embarrass you, but I'd love to pray for you. Anybody raise your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus. I really do. I don't know Christ as my Savior, but I really would like to know him. Amen. 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 Two people raise their hand. Maybe there's some others. Maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I am a Christian, but I've been struggling. Maybe it's your personal life. Maybe something's going on nobody else knows about. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you heard some news last week. Maybe it's not about you, but maybe it's about a family member. Like I said, sometimes the trouble is not so much with us, but maybe that it's that daughter or that brother or that cousin or that sister, or that friend that's going through something. Maybe they're sick or their marriage is not good, or I don't know what it could be, but it's lots of things. I said, preacher, I need more faith in Jesus. I'm going through a heartache. I'm going through some difficulty. I need more faith. I need to keep on trusting. God is speaking to me this morning. I need more of him. I need to trust him more. Would you pray for me? Anybody be honest like that this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Everybody's head bowed. Everybody's eyes closed. Nobody looking around. As the music plays, if you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I don't know Jesus. My wife's going to be down here, right here in the front. Some other folks will be here. Brother Clayton, if you don't know Jesus, would you come? Just simply come here and say, I don't know Jesus, but I'd like to know him. Would you show me? Would you take the Bible and from the Bible show me from the Word of God how I can be saved? We'd love to. We'd love to. Just come right now. We've all been where you are right now. We've all been that time where we were scared and didn't know, but we wanted Jesus more than anything. We'd love to show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Would you come? You're a Christian. You're scared, afraid, anxiety. How's this going to work? How's this going to happen? Trust him. He cares. Maybe you'd like to come and just pray and give it over to God. Quit worrying. Quit whining. Start praying. Start believing. He's in control. He cares. Would you come? The altar is open for you this morning. Whatever God's working in your heart about, I encourage you. Simply obey Jesus. Obey him. God, we do all.